Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with Rick Sterling in our studio with Dr. Don on the phone. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our program, The Bible on Trial. This is brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry, which is a research-based ministry. We study not only the Bible, but history, true history, and science, and all of the other things that are necessary for the discovery of truth. We encourage you to get a piece of paper and your Bible out and ready, because you will need them. You will also need to, at some point, go to our primary website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find our book, The Spirit of the Church, written by Rick Sterling and me and published in 2007. You will also find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling. This is the principal place where you will be able to read literally dozens and dozens, maybe 100 pages of writing that he has put out. We also encourage you to go to our original website, which is the website that we actually put up in, 2001 or two. And it has not been updated at all, but it still contains, since about 2008 or 9, it contains a lot of good information, and you can go there to get some biographical information on some of us who are operating Spirit of Truth Ministry, and also you can find just good writing and good reading. We have a Facebook page. It is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group on Facebook. If you'd like to join us, you can request membership, and we'd be happy to have you join us. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we are here because we love the truth. And because we love the truth, and because one of your names is truth, we also love you, Father, Son, and our Mother, the Holy Spirit. Grant us now a time of uninterrupted joy and understanding as we search for and you lead us to finding the truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Gearing up for the study and gearing up for the weekend.
And I can hear a train horn in the background.
He's coming through the intersection right now.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, we will talk to you later, Don. If you need to get on, you know how to do it. And if any of you want to call in, you can call in. And if you want to be put on the air, you just press number one. Now, we don't actually have a method of screening. And we did a few weeks ago have a person who came on to be disruptive. Satan has not let this go because he hates what we do, because Satan hates the truth. And that was a confirmation, really. What we are doing is the right thing. But we don't want that to happen just for the sake of continuity here. So please be gentle when you call us. Okay. Good morning, Rick. Nice to see you.
Good morning. Thank you, Dennis, and welcome to everyone who is interested in learning the truth. Because Why would anyone spend their time trying to decipher and figure out lies? To what end? I was thinking about what a good and interesting topic would be for the study today. And I know that we are living in a world that has been carefully constructed through the use of lies. And these lies have been purposed to keep the people of the world in the dark in regard to the truth. Little rays of truth have started coming out of the cracks in the lies that have been enforced for a very long, long time. And it is encouraging and heartening to see the people of the world making a stand against the lies. The only way to maintain tyranny and control is through the careful use of lies and to be able to convince minds that are easily convinced by those in authority to believe and participate in lies. The Son of God came here to earth for a very specific reason. All the other reasons that he came here to earth for all depended on this one specific reason. And that reason is summed up in the trial in Pilate's court on chapter 18. Pilate is questioning him because the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees have brought him before Pilate to execute him because the Jews were not allowed through Roman law to put anyone to death as far as capital punishment. Capital punishment could only be done by a Roman high official and for the act of insurrection or treason, plotting against the government of the Caesar. So the charge against the Son of God was that he was planning to overthrow the Roman government in Judea, in Jerusalem, and establish himself as king and ultimately overthrow Caesar and then rule the world from Jerusalem. Now, the Son of God had never, ever made that statement. And that's what had greatly disturbed the religious establishment in Jerusalem. Because the people believed him to be the Messiah, the Messiah. When all the prophecies concerning the Messiah said that he would come and take the throne of David and Israel would be free of any foreign rule or oppression, and he would establish his rule over the whole world. The importance of understanding every prophecy about the end of time, the final judgment of the wicked, and the kingdom of God must be clearly and in truth understood, so that when the events of these prophecies have been seen to be taking place, you would know what to expect, what your certain expectation should be. You see, the hope of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees was that the Messiah would come. And when he came, their understanding of the prophecies would be that he would be like one of them. And he would throw off the yoke of Rome. He would establish the unquestioned authority of Almighty God. He would not be a son of God. He would be someone born of the natural conception process. He would not be a spiritual being who had existed from the creation of the world. He would be flesh and blood, one of them. When this man appeared, right on time, and he worked these miracles in various cities, one thing, one main major thing they had against him was he said God is his father. Now that was a crime because it was blasphemy. You're equating yourself on the same level as God, and they all knew there was only one God. He was a very strict God that ruled according to the law of Moses. And they were the ones, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, who enforced this law of Moses. They didn't know really what to do at first, but they knew that what he was saying was going to undo everything they and their forefathers had worked to meticulously define, interpret, and enforce. And they would nitpick at certain elements of the law and of the prophets to inform the people that it didn't matter the wonders that he was performing before them, these miracles of healing and raising the dead. The teachings that he was presenting to them that he claimed were from his father, and he received this in his father's presence. When they knew good and well that as a being flesh and blood, and they knew who his mother was, but they questioned who his father was. He was a clever deceiver working for Beelzebub. So, what was the real purpose for the Messiah's coming? I read today from various authorized teachers of the Bible and of the Torah and the Talmud, all going on and on about God and Jesus. There's not a whole lot of discussion or teaching about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is seen mainly as the Spirit of the Living Father working in the world. That's why they refer to the Holy Spirit as He, because that's what it says in John when the Son of God is telling his disciples that he's going to send them another helper and he will lead them into all truth. Even though there is no gender attached to the noun for spirit in Greek, pneuma. There's different words for spirit, and they're all in a neutral gender. All the words for spirit in Hebrew are feminine in gender. This world is a kingdom. This world is a spiritual kingdom. Every person born in this world is born into the kingdom of the world. Born into darkness. It is a spiritual darkness. And this darkness was carefully constructed and created and is maintained by the ruler of this world. And the ruler of this world is not God Almighty, is not the Son of God, is not the Holy Spirit. The ruler of this world is the ruler of darkness, and God is never the ruler of darkness. God has no part in darkness. On the first day of creation, darkness covered the deep. And what did God do? He spoke and there was light, and he divided the light from the darkness. And that is what he is doing now. It's what he's been doing since Satan, the kingdom of the dragon, deceived the nations. And he taught them lies and created a state of spiritual darkness that covered this earth. So having been falsely accused by the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees, the Son of God stood in front of Pilate. The erstwhile accusers stayed outside because the Passover was coming, and they didn't want to be ritually unclean. They are charging the Son of the God that took their forefathers out of Egypt. The Son of God who existed in the form of an angel, Michael, who led them in the pillar of fire by day, by night, and the pillar of cloud by day. This being they were condemning to death because he didn't fit their narrative. In John chapter 18, starting with verse 28, they, these religious leaders, then led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was now morning, and they did not go into the praetorium because they themselves would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. And that should be a clue to everybody who thinks that the quote-unquote Last Supper was the Passover meal. Then why are the religious experts not going into the praetorium? Because they want to be able to eat the Passover that night. So Pilate came outside to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They replied, "If he were not a criminal, we should not be handing him over to you." Is that a charge? Is that the charge that they have against him, that he's a criminal? You know, it sounds a lot like what's happening right now. These men knew. These men knew what the truth was, but they had an agenda. They needed to put this man out of their misery. And the only way to do that is to kill him. If he were not a criminal, we wouldn't have turned him over to you. He asked them for the charge, and they didn't give him one. Why? Because they knew if they said that he broke our law, Pilate would say, then you take him because Caesar doesn't enforce your religious rules. Doesn't that sound like what's going on today in the United States and in Canada, in Europe? And the evil, lying rulers are they're not making a specific charge. They're inferring that these people have broken the law. They withhold evidence that would exonerate and put forth lying evidence to prove guilt. This is how the ruler of the world operates, the devil, Satan. And this is the spiritual being that all these people who hold sham trials present false evidence, lies. This is how they operate, because it's how their dark lord operates. Pilate said, take him yourselves and try him by your own law. The Jews answered, well, we're not allowed to put a man to death. This was to fulfill the words Jesus himself had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. He also talked about in his parable of the tenants in the field that when the son came, they said, this is the heir. If we kill him, we will inherit the vineyard. And throwing him out of the city is exactly what they were doing. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and called Jesus to him. This question bespeaks that Pilate knew what they were charging, what the charge was. He wanted to hear it from them. They wouldn't tell him. Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus replied, do you ask this of your own accord? Or have others spoken to you about me? Do you see now that he knows. He knows that the reason that the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees had not told Pilate what the charge was. Well, how would Pilate know what the charge was if they turn him over to him and then when he asks, says, he's a criminal. We don't need to charge. He's a criminal. We don't need to tell you what the charge is. He's a criminal. Or have others spoken to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Mm-hmm. It is your own people and the chief priests who have handed you over to me. What have you done? Now he's asking the Son of God, the Messiah, to tell him what crime he's committed. Am I a Jew? What have you done? Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world." He knows what the charge is. He knows what they have brought him to Pilate for. And he knows that Pilate's only concern, from what he's asking, Pilate's only concern is he a threat to Caesar? That's all they were concerned. If he's a threat to Caesar and he's been making threats and saying that he is going to raise up an army and overthrow Caesar's authority and government, then, yes, he is a criminal.
Was he making claims of usurpation?
He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, you see, Caesar only made claims of ruling this world. So if this man says that he is a king, but his kingdom is not of this world, he's no threat to Caesar. And that's exactly what he does. Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the Jews. Think about that. What is he saying here? Think about this. Why was he arrested? And what did the disciples think about his arrest? He'd been telling them the whole time that he was going to be rejected by the religious establishment, and not only that, that because they would hate him and feel so threatened that they would have him put to death. And the disciples, they're all caught up in this, well, he's the Messiah. He's going to declare himself king. He's going to take the throne of David. He's going to rule Jerusalem, and not only Jerusalem. He's going to throw off the yoke of Rome, and all nations will worship and honor the God of heaven, the Father of the Messiah.
Rick, it's very telling that the most damning statement that Jesus made in that whole discourse was, "My kingdom is not of this world." What have we been talking about this whole time that we've been on the air on Blog Talk Radio?
Longer than that, we're talking about
where it's out in public for general observation. We have been talking about the kingdom of God and what it takes to become a member of it. And we see constantly when I talk with people We have a friend who is has a beer with us occasionally. He had a beer with us last night, yesterday afternoon. Name is Murphy. He's Catholic. Okay. He believes for sure that he is in the kingdom of heaven because he belongs to the Catholic Church. We have friends in the church that we grew up in who believe wholeheartedly, unless you are a member of that particular church, that you are not in the kingdom of heaven and or kingdom of God, and you will not be in heaven.
And some in that church also put forth the truth that you must believe in the words of his prophet.
Right. And there's other churches that have that same thing. My kingdom is not of this world. All churches are of this world because all churches are man-made.
And all churches, just as the scribes, the chief priests, that whole religious establishment, the Sadducees, Pharisees, on and on, all those religious experts all taught and maintained the darkness. The darkness that was put forth when Satan, the evil one, deceived the nations thousands of years before.
Correct. So what is the observable, looking at observable data, what is the first step in becoming, Jesus said it in John 3, except a person be born again
from above
through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, unless that person has become born again, he can't even see the king. He can't identify it.
Well, if he isn't born of the water
and the Spirit, he can't
enter.
That's right. So you can't even see it if you don't recognize that you're not in it.
And that's going to, I don't know how much time we're, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So the kingdom, what I've talked about for, many times, is from the parables of the Son of God, from the preaching of the prophets, that God had invited the children of Israel and any foreigner of any country that wasn't Israel, that if they would meet the requirements to enter the kingdom of God, they would be welcome in it. Yet those who were invited refused to enter, and they wouldn't let anyone else, a foreigner, enter. So not only did they prevent the people of Israel to enter the kingdom of God, but they made sure a foreigner was to become, who wanted to enter the kingdom of God, they would tell them what the requirements for them were, which were almost impossible. And that's why the Son of God said, you go over sea and land to win a convert And when you do, you make him twice the son of hell that you are. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world. And to enter the kingdom of God is to meet the requirements that God has put forth and has made known. They're not a secret, and they're not impossible. They are not difficult, but they do require a change of thinking. Jesus replied, "Mine is not a kingdom of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent my being surrendered to the Jews." Surrendered. Surrendered. What does that word mean? Surrendered. My men would have fought to prevent me being surrendered. When do you use the word surrender?
When you are in a battle between armies and one gives up and
one is defeated, they surrender.
Correct.
So what is he implying? My men would have not allowed me to be surrendered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this kind. So you are a king then, said Jesus. It is you who say it. So you are a king then. It is you who say it. This is a very interesting discourse for discovery. He has said that, you know, Pilate's asked, "Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Are you?" And then Jesus, in effect, says, "Is this something that you're concerned about? Am I a threat? Are you asking this for your own self or what?" And then, if my kingdom were of this world, my men would not have allowed me to be surrendered. That would mean that if his kingdom were a kingdom of the world, he just lost
the battle.
The battle. But my kingdom is not of this kind. So you are a king then, said Pilate. It is you who say it, answered Jesus. Yes. I am a king. Now, here's where we really need to parse this through. He is a king, and he has a kingdom. But his kingdom is not of this world. Now, is there a Is there kind of a qualifier there? If his kingdom is not of this world, then it is it off world somewhere in the heavens? Where would it be if it's not of this world?
Well, he
and why would he be here if it's not of this world?
And to take any confusion away, he then said, my kingdom is not of this realm.
Right. Or of this kind.
Of this kind. Also, the Greek for that word ruler, I mean that word king, also means ruler. And Pilate was a ruler. And so he basically was acknowledging that his conversation with Jesus was one ruler to another.
Yeah. But of what realm?
One of them was in the realm of the earth. The other was the realm of the heavens.
Now, he, according to what he says here, he is in the world, right? He came into the world to call people to the kingdom. Remember, I've read many times where it says he went from town to town healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He says to Nicodemus, except a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. A man must be born from above. He's proclaiming the gospel of, or good news of his kingdom in the world, right? He's in the world telling humans about his kingdom and how what you need to do to enter it. So in order to enter the kingdom of God, when you're a human living on this world, where do you need to go to enter it? Well, he said, you must be born of the water and born of the Spirit, and then you have entered the kingdom of God. So you don't have to leave the world to enter the kingdom of God, but how do you go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, leaving the world? Now, darkness is a spiritual condition, and light is a spiritual condition, which is why you're either born of the spirit of darkness or the spirit of light, which is the spirit of truth, or the spirit of darkness, which, when you're born of the spirit of darkness, you see light as darkness and darkness as light. Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to the truth. And all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice. Truth, said Pilate. What is that?
As a typical philosopher.
All who are on the side of truth. You know, honesty is a very good quality to have. Most people consider themselves honest. They would never think to lie to someone or cheat someone. Any of those things, steal, kill. They strive to be honest in all their dealings with others. But what about their dealings with themselves? Can they be honest with themselves, or do they lie to themselves? But pass it off because, well, you know, this is what I was taught. This is the church that my parents and my grandparents' parents were in. I was brought up in this church. This church is my life. Or this religious practice. Or the belief that there isn't a God. Or the belief that there is a God, but they don't know the God. Belief that you can live in the darkness as long as you have faith and believe that you can enter the kingdom of God and still be in the dark, or that your faith gives you the conviction that when the Son of God returns, He will take you out of the darkness into his kingdom of light. Even though he never taught that, ever. The key is that last statement. I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth, to bear witness to the truth, and all who are on the side of truth, listen to my voice. I have a part of his teaching that he says it all. And the teaching is found in John chapter 12, starting with verse 47. If anyone hears my words, teaching, and does not keep them faithfully, faithful performance of the instructions given by the Son of God. If anyone hears my words, and hearing is, you know, what I'm telling you are his words. I'm not making it up. I'm reading it. I'm telling you his words. But if you also read his words and you hear with your eyes, so to speak, the words go to the same place in your intellect. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them faithfully, it is not I who will condemn him. Since I have not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and refuses my words has his judge already. The word itself that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. Spoken does not come from myself, no. What I was to say, What I had to speak was commanded by the Father who sent me, and I know that his commands mean eternal life. And therefore, what the Father has told me is what I speak. How many people cling to the words of Paul in the hope that those words will bring them into life, eternal life? But the words of Paul are not the words of the Son of God. And the specific reason that he said, the Son of God told Pilate that he came here to this earth, was that those who are on the side of truth will listen to his words. And then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war on the rest of her children. The woman is the Holy Spirit. The same woman, Holy Spirit, that the Son of God told Nicodemus, you must be born of. The last of her offspring in the last day, these, that is, all who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony, the words of the Son of God. We are in the last days. The harvest is here. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick. And thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we will continue this discussion about what it takes to become a member of the Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of God. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you all a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow. So long for now.